Luke chapter 10 this morning. And I want you to follow with me in the book, Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. This is known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let's see what the Holy Ghost can bring out of this for us this morning. Help me, Holy Ghost, this morning. Without you, I can't do nothing. Help me feed the sheep.
Amen. In
Jesus' name, help us do what you want us to do in this life, Lord. Help us, Lord, follow you and represent you in this earth. That others might know you. Help us love them like you love them, see them like you see them, and touch them like you would touch them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Verse 25 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 26, he said to him, "What is written in the law? And what is your reading of it?" Verse 27, so he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." Verse 29. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion." Everybody say compassion.
Compassion.
"So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And the lawyer said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
Amen.
Go and do likewise. You know, the lawyer had a good question. You know, he wanted to know what could he do to have eternal life. There's probably a lot of lawyers out there today that need to be asking the same question today.
Amen.
But this lawyer found Jesus and wanted to know. And Jesus said to him, you know, you got to love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and all that's within you. You got to love the Lord God.
That's right.
That's commandment number 1.
Amen.
And commandment number 2 is, you've got to love your neighbor as you do yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Here's the situation. A lot of people stand up on Sunday morning and they proclaim that they love God.
That's right.
They sing. Some dance. Some lift their hands. Some testify that they love God. Hallelujah. And I believe a lot of folks do love the Lord. But where they are falling, where the church is falling short at, is we ain't loving our neighbor as ourselves.
That's right.
Everybody knows that we love ourselves.
That's right.
Amen.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Most of us stood up in the mirror this morning and we loved on ourselves a little bit. Amen.
Amen.
We tried to get old self looking a little bit better so we could be presentable in the house of the Lord today.
That's right.
But we do love ourselves, and a lot of the world loves their self way more than they need to.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
They ain't picking up their cross and following after him.
That's
they
right.
are living for self. They ain't picking up the cross, which is a symbol of death and
right.
denial. But everybody wants to take care of self these days.
That's right.
But Jesus said you got to love your neighbor as well as you do your own self.
That's Come right. on now.
You got to love other people.
Amen.
And the church is falling short on the opportunities of loving people that are wounded.
That's right.
That are scarred.
That's right.
That are torn. That have been abused. Haven't been dealt a fair hand. And Jesus said in this story, he went on down and the lawyer said, "Who is my neighbor?" Well, some of us think our neighbor is just the one that lives across the street.
That's right. Come on.
Next to us, that we meet across the between our properties, and we shake hands and we say we love you. We take we're neighbors, right? We take some cookies to our neighbors every now and then. But listen, it goes far beyond those people that live next to us.
That's right.
Amen.
Who is my neighbor today?
Amen.
I'll tell you who your neighbor is. Your neighbor is those that are broken down.
Come on.
That are being passed up every day. That we get an opportunity as Christians, as the church, and we walk past these opportunities all the time, not recognizing Jesus has given us an opportunity to love our neighbor as well as ourselves.
Amen.
And to take care of them when they need a hand up, not a hand out. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus gave a parable here of a man that was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and on the way there, he got robbed. Thieves beat him down, stole. I'm sure they stole his money if he had any, but they beat him to a pulp. And he was just laying there in the street, bleeding and hurting, needing somebody to reach out to him. And the people that were called to reach out to him, hallelujah, walked right on by.
That's right.
Bible said the first guy that seen him was a priest. The priest seen him in that condition, looked at him, and he was probably walking in the same path as the guy that had been beaten and wounded, and all of a sudden, he changed his path and walks on the other side of the street. You know why he changed his path? Because he don't want to get close to him, because if he gets close to him, God might speak louder to him to do something to help him, so he gets on the other side of the road and passes on by.
Yeah.
You know, good people don't always do the right thing.
That's right.
And the people that are anointed don't always do the right thing.
That's right.
We have an anointing from God to help people.
Amen.
A lot of times, we don't want to get mixed up with the situation. We don't want to get our hand dirty. Therefore, we pass by on the other side.
That's right.
Or, when we get an opportunity to help somebody, as the priest and the Levite, we don't want to be like them. We don't want to pass by when we have an opportunity.
That's right.
God puts people in your life for a purpose and a reason. And if we ain't careful, we pass them on by, and then we come into church on Sunday, clapping, dancing, and shouting, "I love God."
Amen.
And God said, "Wait just a minute. Hey, something ain't right with this picture.
Right.
Something wrong with this picture. You ain't loving people. We got to love people.
Amen.
And we can't just talk love. We got to show love."
Amen.
Amen. Hey, one thing to say, "Well, I'm going to pray for you, honey. I'll see you next week." There's another thing to say, "Hey, what can we do?
That's right.
What we need to do here to get things going in the right direction?"
Yeah.
Instead of, we just going to throw up a prayer. A lot of people use that religious prayer stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. And they go home and ain't never said a prayer one.
Come on.
Preach it. Hey, Lord have mercy.
Amen.
We got to get our hands dirty, church. We got to get up in there and begin to help those. But then after the Levite passed on by, he looked and he seen the same thing. And those that were really called to do what was right didn't do anything.
That's right.
But a certain Samaritan, which don't even usually have any relationship with Jewish people, he seen this guy. He stopped. He mended his wounds. He cared for him, put oil upon him, wine upon him, and then he took him and put him on his own animal, took him to the Holiday Inn, and put him up in a room and told the man to keep feeding him, keep taking care of him, and when I come back through, if I owe something more, he said, I'll take care of this man dead for you. Hallelujah. Right. You know, Jesus found us on the road, and we was all tore up. We was all wounded. We've been all scarred. But Jesus Christ came down here and paid our debt in full.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And he's coming back one day, and if there's any, there ain't nothing left. It's all finished. But Jesus said we should take care of somebody. Now I want to tell you what happened over in Africa. This is what brought this message up in my heart. We was at the meeting, and there was, I don't know, 600-800 people there on a daily basis, might have been more. And Apostle Kenny was up teaching the people. And it was the second day of the conference. We had, I think, 5 days of it. The second day, I was sitting up under in my chair off to the side there. And a lot of ministers all around us from Africa, all over, they come. And I was sitting there, and it was really boiling hot. And I noticed that in front of the media tent, they were filming the meetings. In front of the media tent, this man had came, and he had set a chair. He wasn't under, most of the people were under tents. They had like 20 tents out there. And they were underneath these tents to keep them out of the heat. Well, this guy had come and got a chair, and he set it right there in the open. And it was boiling down hot. And I looked at his clothes, and they were really worn out. And he had long sleeves, looked like a hoodie jacket on. Anyhow, I knew it would make it even hotter. And he sat there, and his head was just like this the whole time. He's sitting in the chair, head down like this the whole time. Hardly ever looking around, just, and I'm about 30, 40 feet from him. Every now and then I look at him. And then after a while, a couple of hours, the Lord said, go over there and pray for that boy. Yeah, that'd be the right thing to do, Lord. I believe it would. Didn't take me but 2 hours to catch on. I really didn't know what was wrong with it when I went over there, and I just kind of walked around, and I was praying and walking, and I finally just walked right up to his chair from behind him, and I laid my hands on him. One thing that I pray for when I go overseas is, Lord, help me love them like you love them.
Amen.
Help me see them like you see them, Lord.
Amen.
And help me when I touch them, Lord, touch them like you touched them. Amen. That means the anointing flows into them. Help me. Because I have found out that if you travel overseas and you can go there and just be religious like the priest and the Levite and just pass people by. But we there more than just pass people by. We there to make an impact on somebody's life.
That's right.
That won't ever be erased. Make a mark that won't ever be erased.
Right.
And said, Lord, help me love them. If you don't love them, you won't ever be able to walk in the anointing that you need to.
That's right.
Unless
That's
you
right.
have God's love for them. So I seen this little boy, and I said, there ain't nobody having nothing to do with this guy. I said, Jesus would. If he was here, I believe Jesus would walk by. So I walked around him, and I finally put my hands on his back, and I just started praying. And when I'm praying, compassion starts moving. Y'all know what compassion is? Mm-hmm. Compassion is something that comes from God. It touches your inner. Jesus said about he was moved with the bowels of his compassion. Mm-hmm. In his bowels, in this area. And your heart just goes out to him. You begin to get broken because of what you see. And that's compassion. And when compassion moves, just like it was in Luke chapter 10 there, when the Good Samaritan was moved with compassion, his hand was also moved. That's right. To do something. See, a lot of us, if you just move with compassion but don't follow it up and do something, you've messed. You haven't fulfilled your calling there.
That's right. That's
your
right.
Duty there. Your assignment ain't finished yet unless you get your hands involved.
That's right.
So, after I prayed for him, man, I mean, I could tell they were some demonic spirits. Oh man, I could tell y'all some stories about some demonic spirits over there. They was picking them up in front of the podium, in front of the altar. They pick them up and towed them to a tent over there where they had a deliverance tent. And they must have toted out 10 the first meeting and 10 the second meeting. I mean, they just, every time we had a meeting, they'd fall out, they'd pick them up, take them to the tent. And I'm talking about, I'd look over there, and man, I mean, they was getting deliverance. They was, oh man. Anyhow, I'll show y'all some videos of that. But I prayed for the guy. My heart went out to him. I walked around and walked some more, and I came back and prayed again. Laid my hands on him. He didn't hardly ever move the whole time I was praying. I kept praying. And I said, Lord, this boy, he needs you. He's got to have a touch. I said, he ain't got no hope. He ain't got nothing to live for. He's sitting out there in this hot sun, and he's baking, and he don't even know he's here. I said, but I believe with all my heart, Jesus brought him there.
Amen.
Put him in that chair and said, who's gonna take care of him? Who's gonna watch over him? Who's gonna pray for him? We got 1,000 people here. Who's gonna pray for him?
Come on.
A lot of people just carrying on with religion, y'all. We can carry on with our church services. We can build our big churches. We can put ACs and comfortable chairs in them. But if we ain't loving people like our neighbor, we ain't doing what Jesus called us to do.
That's right. Come on.
We are left here after we get saved to be a blessing to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And use the anointing oil that Jesus has given and poured into us. Amen. To help the hurting and the broken. Amen.
Amen.
Help them. So, 2 times I prayed. I went back to my seat. And I just continued. He just stayed there in that sun. And we took lunch break shortly after that. And I told my van driver, Brother George. I said, George, I said, listen, I want you to do something for me. He understands his people. He's in Kenya. I said, look, you see this man here in this chair? I said, make sure that everybody's going to lunch. That means everybody's going to get a plate full of rice and a plate full of beans that day. I said, make sure this man here gets food today. Make sure yourself that he gets the food that he needs. I said, you make sure that happens. I said, you going to make that happen? He said, yes, sir. Well, we went to lunch in a house, and while we were there, I asked the main pastor, Pastor Lucas. I said, Lucas, I seen a man there in the chair. I said, I prayed for him. I said, I don't know what's wrong with him. He said, he's lost his mind. He said, his sister's the same way. He said, his grandma, I think he stays with his grandmama, but he's gone mentally. He don't know. I said, okay. And I said, Pastor, I said, how much money would it take to buy him a new set of clothes today? And how much money would it take to get him a bath? And how much money would it take to get his hair trimmed up, get him looking good, And I said, how much money would it take to put some shoes on his feet? He said, he gave me an amount. I said, let's do it now. I pulled out the money. I gave it to him. They took that old boy that I had prayed for. They took him down to the city, and they gave him a bath to start off with. They cut all his hair off. He got a slick head when he came back. They put a three-piece suit on him. That's the British tradition that British left upon Africa after they left. A lot of the Africans wear suits over there. It don't matter how hot it is. That's why they want us to wear suits when it's hot. I mean, anyhow, he came back with a suit on and some new shoes. And they even dressed him up with a red tie. And man, when they brought him in there and set him down, they set him down in the pastor section with about 40 or 50 pastors. On the front row, he was sitting there by one of the pastors. And when he came in, the band drops in. I said, oh my goodness, look at this. And man, my heart was just excited about what Jesus was doing for him. So that night I did a crusade. And I told him, I said, bring him, set him on the front row with the pastor. Sitting there. He came and he was sitting there. When I got to preaching, I said, I'm coming down to where the people are. I put this on Facebook. Some of y'all might have already seen it. I laid my Bible on that boy's head. And I began to cast out evil spirits out of him. And I asked God to restore his mind, to give him a sound mind, and make him whole. And got done, went on, finished preaching my message, and that meeting was over. Now I'm going to fast forward a little bit to the last day. Every day now, that boy's coming back to the meeting. He's got the same suit on. He's got his shoes on. He's looking good. He's sitting there by the pastor, and he's hearing the word every day, hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word. Y'all, you got to get people in and under the word of God. It don't matter if they cuckoo. It don't matter what's going on in their life. If you can get the power of God's word in them, it can begin to break down strongholds, and it will make demons vanish.
That's right.
So he's sitting there, and the last day, the meeting's over. We fixing to go back to our room, and the next day we leaving that area. On the way out, I see him sitting there. And I noticed that he had got up and he walked back on his own and he sat down in his own seat. And on Saturday, I'm missing a few parts. On Saturday, they had a baptismal service out there. They baptized 115. And he got baptized that day.
Oh, wow.
People, the whole church has been continuing to pray for him every day now for 5 days. This is the last day. On the way out, I noticed he walked. He didn't have no assistance. He walked to his own seat, and he sat down. And on the way out, I was headed to the van, and I looked back, and I seen him. I said, I'm going to him. I went over there one last time to put my hands on him again and pray with him, trust God to restore his mind. And one of the pastors, assistant pastors, came with me over there, and he said, oh, don't you know what happened? What do you know what happened? I said, what happened? He said, well, he got baptized yesterday. I said, praise God, hallelujah. They said, well, he said his mind's back. I said, his mind's back. I said, Lord have mercy. I went over there and I talked with him and looked at him, prayed with him. And he was looking at me now. And he never said a word. He just looking. Just like a humble fella. Prayed with him. Loved on him. And before I left, I kissed him on top of his head. And man, I tell you, I'm about to bust with God's love when I kissed that boy on his head. Woo, I about melted, y'all. I'm talking about, I didn't think I was going to make it to the van. Mm. I was just, couldn't help but love him. And you know what I got to thinking? It's whenever you go out of your way to be a blessing to somebody that can't help themselves, and you show them the love of Jesus, that's when you will experience the true agape love flowing through you.
Amen.
Amen.
And when you feel it, man, oh man, it is just unbelievable. When you feel that love, but you won't feel it when you pass by and you keep on going. All you're doing then, you're religious, but you ain't got a heart of compassion. You don't show no mercy. You gotta show it, you gotta give it.
Amen.
I kissed that boy on the head, y'all, about melted. I went back to the band. I was just squalling. Woo! Touching me now. And then the boy told me, he said, you see his name badge? They put a badge on you, on the ministers. They put a badge on, and it'd have your name and so forth. And they said, look at his name badge. I said, I looked at his name badge. And you know what they put a name on that boy's badge? You know what they called him? You're going to like this, Debbie. They called him Curtis Carver. Curtis Carver. That's what they call me overseas. It's Curtis. It's a more of a manly name than Stacy. So I tell them overseas, call me Curtis. That's a good name for me. But they put Curtis Carver on that boy's name tag. I don't know if he had a name or what his name was. But they gave him a new name. Like Jesus gives us a new identity.
That's
right. When we get saved.
Amen.
We ain't the whole person.
That's right.
But this old boy, I told the head pastor there, I said, whatever he needs, you take care of it. I said, you let me know whatever the bill is, and I'll send it to take care of this boy. I said, but don't you let him fall through the cracks. You make sure somebody picks him up on Sunday and brings him to church, and you can continue to take care of him.
Right.
I believe it all my heart. Then, the last crusade I preached up there, I didn't even know this, after we started dealing with this guy. And the head pastor, I'm talking about so anointed. He was my interpreter. If you watch any of the crusades on Facebook, he was my interpreter. He had a strong voice, and I ain't never seen nobody in my life have as much administration, organizational skills than this man. Never. I've been to Asia, I've been to South America, I've been to Africa. I ain't never seen nobody put a meeting together with that many people and have everything lined up. I mean, if a demon fell out, they had a team that would pick them up by the arms and legs, and they towed them out. The cooking. When we came into the meeting, they were blowing horns, and they were hollering, and they were rejoicing, and they had the leaf branches in their hand. That's how the Africans do it. And they just, and they just escorting us in there. I said, I ain't never seen, been a part of anything like that. Make you feel like you're a president of the United States or something. I'm like, Lord, how much? We out here in the middle, Timbuktu in Africa. And I said, they treating us, you know what they're doing? They're honoring the anointing. Is what they're doing.
That's right.
They're honoring the anointing. And when you honor the anointing, you're ready to receive it. It ain't us they're worshiping. It's the anointing that they're honoring in the lives of God's people.
That's right.
Amen.
Anyhow, I found out that the head pastor that had all this organizational skill, he said, would you like to hear my testimony? I said, yeah. He said, I used to be like that boy. He said, I used to be a lunatic. My mind was gone. He said, when I was 14, he said, I used to run around the village with no clothes on. He said, my mind was gone. He said, my mama prayed for me all her life. He said, my mama couldn't even handle me. I was so crazy. I drove my mama crazy. He said, I was so bad that my mama hung herself because of me. I said, Lord, have mercy. And we think we got it bad sometimes. His mama hung herself because of his condition. She couldn't deal with it no more. Anyhow, he said, after my mama had prayed and she couldn't do nothing for me, she said, she hung herself. She said, not long after that, he said, somebody, I can't remember if they took him to church or whatever, but they ministered to him and his mind came back. And then he began to preach Jesus. And I'm telling you what, that joker can preach. Tell you now he can preach. You can't out dance an African. You can't out preach an African. You can't out pray an African. They in it. But to see where he's at now and what Jesus did in his life to transform him from who he used to be to what he is now is mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. It lets me know that Jesus, he don't give up on people. Amen. And there ain't nothing he can't do.
That's right.
To transform that boy that was running around his village at 14 years old, naked, into being what he is today, it ain't nothing but the grace of God.
Amen.
The transformation power of God. And folks, I tell you, when you see stuff like that, it changes you. It touches you. But I want you to know, Jesus said at the end of that, our life lesson in that is he told that lawyer to go and do likewise. Go do this. And if, I want to encourage y'all, you don't have to have money to give people.
That's right.
But if you'll stop by and pray for them.
That's right.
Stop by and love on them. And ask Jesus to help you love them like he loves them. When his love starts operating through you, it's going to melt you. And it's going to change you to being more like him.
Amen.
If you had never done this, Jesus' words to us this morning, and those of you watching is go and do likewise.
Amen.
Go love somebody. Who is your neighbor? It might be the prostitute. Might be the drug addict.
That's right.
Might be the alcoholic that nobody wants to have nothing to do with.
That's right.
It may be that person that's insane that nobody wants to have anything to do with.
That's right.
It may be the homeless person sleeping on a park bench tonight. Who is your neighbor? These people are.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you will do it to the least of these, you've done it unto me.
Amen.
I told them Africans that when we were meeting in there with all these pastors, they said, why did you go to him? I said, I felt led to go to him. I said, if you want to feel the love of God, what do you have to do? I said, you find when you out there living your life, you shopping, getting gas, working, whatever. I said, when you pass people, you find the least of the least in the crowd. And you go and minister to them. I said, the love of God will come out of you and go into them. And I said, Jesus will begin to work.
Amen.
And you will feel that agape love and you will know why he loves you so much.
Right.
When it flows through you. It's there.
Amen.
But you got to use it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all stand with me. If you're watching us this morning by media, it was our honor to come into your home. Man, Jesus is so good. He loves you. No matter what your state of mind is, no matter what you've been going through, no matter what you've been through, no matter how scarred you are, Jesus Christ still loves you. And he has a plan for you. He'll never give up on you. And I just pray that you will just turn to him today and call out, Jesus, I need you. Come and clothe me in a right mind. Come and touch me and use me for your glory and your honor. Use me, Lord. Jesus Christ is the answer that you've been looking for. It ain't in a bottle. It ain't in a drug. It ain't in a prescription drug. Jesus is the answer. He loves you. We love you. Leave us some comments. Let us know if you like this sermon or not. God bless you. Have a good day.